Here this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, can identify with the words of the songwriters and can identify with that their longing to be on the other side of this, looking forward to, anticipating, unable to comprehend what God has prepared for those that love Him. While our hearts grieve with you, Lane, we do understand that this morning there's one of our family that has crossed over to the other side. There's one of our family that has fought the fight, kept the faith, and ran it with patience, and has crossed over to that other side and is now with the Father in glory. And it brings a connection to us. It brings a connection to us here. And you might ask the question this morning, how did John do that? How was John able, in what was dealt him in life, how was he able to hold on to and see beyond and look beyond what he was experiencing here on this earth? How was he able to do that? How was he able to rejoice when it seemed like there was very little to rejoice in? How was he able to praise when it seemed like there was little to praise? How was he able? But if there ever was a man that demonstrated to us how to do that, it was John. To be able to look beyond the here and the now and see what was to come. Anticipate what was to come. Look forward to what was to come. And it's at times like this morning, singing songs and lifting your voices up in praise, lifting our voices up together, that the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When you're able to stop and lift up your voices together in praise. I titled the message this morning, The Weapon of Praise. It's not often that we think of praise as a weapon, but as we look at the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30, we will see here a story that tells us just that. That praise is a weapon. Praise is something that I believe this morning, if the church were to get a hold, truly get a hold of what it means and what we are able to accomplish or what can be accomplished by praising God, that we would be different people and the church would be different. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 30. This story here tells the story itself very well. And I'm going to read it and make a few comments on it here this morning. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 30. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Let me back up one step where Jehoshaphat had torn down the idols of the land there and was reestablishing God as the God to serve, the God Jehovah being the Almighty God, had reestablished that there in the land. And this is what happens right on the heels of it. In verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazion, Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaiming a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of a couple other people. And then in the midst of the assembly, verse 15, he says, listen, all of you, all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoah. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established, believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And then he had, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness where they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and the precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. Then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, where Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Hallelujah. What a story. What a story of confidence in God and seeing the hand of God work by allowing, being led by Jehoshaphat, first of all, for the people to come to a place of prayer and come to a place of recognizing that this battle was not their battle to fight and that they needed to trust the Lord, rest in him. And when they praised God, the enemy was defeated. I'm here to challenge you this morning. We live in a world that is full of things that would strike fear in our hearts. We live in a world that would draw our minds and our hearts away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world that would draw our hearts and our minds and our fellowship away from the Father. And I'm here to remind you this morning, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to thank our God for. We have so much to praise God for. He is a living, holy God who created the heavens and the earth. He created you and I, and he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross that you and I might have life eternal. We have so much to be thankful for and to praise God for. And what was drawn to my attention here was that when Jehoshaphat started to get serious about worshiping God and praising God and honoring God, he tore down the idols, and when he did that, here comes the enemy, in like a flood. You might be here this morning and you have made some steps in taking some steps to do things different, to honor God more in your life, to pray more, to worship more, to read your Bible more, whatever it might be. You have made steps to do that, and all of a sudden it appears like Satan has arrayed his armies against you to defeat you. And you are struck with fear in your heart. And I challenge you this morning again. Turn to the Lord as Jehoshaphat did. And when this happens, when you realize that the armies of Satan have aligned against you, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did was he feared. But he wasn't overtaken by that fear. He set himself to seek the Lord. And what he did was he called the people around him to come beside him and to pray with him and fast with him and seek the Lord together. And you may be here this morning and it feels like Satan has aligned his armies against you. I challenge you to call alongside of you people who will pray and fast with you. And it is in that you then will hear the direction of the Lord. You know, the strategy of war is nothing but confusion. And there's a tale that's told, and let me just read it to you. There's a tale that a demon instructed his subordinates on an ancient and effective piece of satanic strategy. He said this to his subordinates: insert yourself into the simple situations which call for plain and obvious duties and complicate them. And complicate them again. Until at last, no one involved in them can make sense of the confusion. Maybe you're here this morning, and it feels like Satan has aligned himself against you. And what should be so simple, what should be so simple to come to some kind of understanding or conclusion has become so complicated that there seems to be no answer. And you begin to fear because you see the armies of Satan coming against you in whatever area of life that might be. When the armies of Satan gather against you, what is your response? When the armies of Satan gather against you and you experience fear in your heart, it feels like everything is stacked against you. There's no way out of this. And you experience fear in your heart, what is your response? May I draw your attention to Jehoshaphat's response. In verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. You know, it should be within the heart and the mind of the child of God that whenever we are faced with and challenged with, when we are faced with the challenges of life, that we are first and foremost to set ourselves to seek the face of the Lord. But I find many times, I believe that we find ourselves running or hiding or seeking different ways or different avenues of which to fight the battle. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the person that feels like the enemy has aligned himself against you. I encourage you this morning, set yourself to seek the Lord. Call those around you to fast and praise God for the workings that he's doing in your life. One of the oldest books on warfare was written by Sun Tzu's. It's called The Art of War, and in its 13 chapters, Sun laid down some basic principles of how to wage war. Among his advice were these statements. Think about this. As you're sitting here this morning, think about the enemy's strategy, Satan's strategy against you. And it's this simple. Amongst his advice were these statements. All warfare is based on deception. All warfare is based on deception. Another one. Hold out baits to entice the enemy. Feign disorder and then crush him. Satan is always there, ready and willing to hold out bait. Appear weak, until you take the bait and then crush you. He pretends to be weak that we might grow arrogant. He pretends to be weak so that we might grow arrogant. If he is taking his ease, give him no rest. In the times in life when we feel like things are okay, going pretty good, I'm doing all right. Things are good. He will give you no rest. If his forces are united, separate them. This is speaking of the enemy. Realizing we are an enemy of Satan. If his forces are divided, or if his forces are together, separate them. Divide them. Attack him where he is unprepared. Appear where you are not expected. If he is secure at all points, be prepared for him. If he is superior strength, evade him. And how is it this morning that the child of God becomes a superior strength to Satan? How is it this morning that we as children of God become superior in strength against Satan? It is only by the working of God through you. It is only by the working of God through you. And Jehoshaphat showed us how to do that. When we understand the strategy of Satan, it gives us an advantage. So I believe this morning it is important that we understand the enemy that is coming against us and recognize that he is defeated by the Almighty God. Jehoshaphat, he recognized that the armies coming against him were greater than he was, but he did not run. He recognized that he was not able to come up against these people. He did not run. He turned to the Father, got on his knees, and recognized that his power was in the God Almighty. Leviticus 26, 3 and 8 says, promised the people this. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And that's pretty much exactly what happened there. And one of the things that I came in touch with as I was studying, looking over this sermon again, was that if we would come in touch with, if the church, if the people of God would come in touch with the power of praise, the power of lifting up God, the power of expressing God before the enemy, if we would get a hold of that, I believe it would revitalize our prayer life. It would revitalize our relationships with each other. It would revitalize the church. It revitalizes our community, the people we work with. If we would get a hold of that, if we are people of praise, that when we praise God, when we lift up our voices and praise God for what He is, for what He has done, for what He will do, when we do that, the glory of God is revealed and is unleashed against the enemy. And so you may be here this morning, you're saying, Luke, yeah, I know, I'm struggling. It seems like the power is going out of my prayer. And I ask you this morning, this is what I'm coming in touch with. I'm coming in touch with the fact that I need to be more of a person of praise in my prayer life. That in my prayer life, that when I come before the Father, the Lord's Prayer starts like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I need to come before the Father more as a person of praise, not just begging for and asking for and looking for Him to bring comfort or health or healing into my life, but come before the Father praising Him, saying, God, You are good. What You have done for me is incredible. That You would give Your Son to die for me. If there's nothing else you can think of, just the fact that you can breathe this morning. And if you can get up and stand on your feet this morning, come before the Father and thank Him for that. Thank Him that you're able to drink water, whatever it might be. I think we have so much. We have so much to praise God for, to thank God for, and we get caught up in the negative things that are happening in life. So I'm challenging you this morning to be a person of praise. Let it come from your heart. As I shared 2 weeks ago, what's on the inside comes out. We watched a little clip of the babies laughing, and it cheers your heart. You see what's on the inside. If we're thinking positive things, we will be people of praise, and I am calling you this morning to be those people. Because we see the results. We see what happened when the people with Jehoshaphat began to praise the Lord. He began to praise the Lord, and the enemy was defeated. And I assure you this morning that so many of your challenges with your thought life, with your ability to have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be strengthened if we become people who are willing to praise Him. The story is just so beautiful. We have in verse 5 through 7 through 9, 10, then Jehoshaphat stood and with the assembly. And then in verse 6, he says, O Lord, our God of our fathers, are You not God in heaven and do You not rule? He's not saying, he knows that He is God in heaven and that He is the God who rules. He knows that He is the God that brought the children out of Israel, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. And Jehoshaphat doesn't need to stand before the Lord and tell the Lord this. God knows this. What Jehoshaphat needs to do was stand before the Father and remind himself that this is the things that God did for him. And sometimes we need to stop and stand before the Father and reflect back to Him what He has done for us. And then in verse 10, he presents his case. And now, here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom You would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here's the dilemma. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of Your possession, which You have given us to inherit. In verse 12, O our God, will You not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. That is a beautiful, beautiful place to stand. That when we recognize that we have no power and we cannot come up against the enemy that is coming against us, and we stand before God and we present it to Him and say, God, I realize that this enemy of pornography, this enemy of gossip, this enemy of whatever it is that is controlling me, when I stand up, it is more than I can come against. And when we come and stand before the Father and say, God, my eyes are upon You. Present your case to Him. You see, when you go into the throne room, when we come into the throne room of grace, and we are willing to be honest, we are willing to be open, we are willing to share with God what our burden is, what our battle is, what it is that we are weak, it is in that He is then able to move. And he sends his prophet in verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And when we are there and ready and willing, and we say, "Lord, I can't fight this battle. The people, it's too big for me. It's too big for me." Then listen for the words of God to say, "Let me fight it for you." Is there things you will have to do? Yes. The people were called then to go. In verse 17, it says, "You will not need to fight in this battle." But they were called to position themselves. I wonder why they were called to position themselves. And then he goes on, he says, "Stand still, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." So there are several weapons that are listed in this here particular passage of Scripture, and what are they? The first one is the weapon of prayer. As we saw that Jehoshaphat, he first of all got on his knees before God, recognized his need for help, called on people to pray and fast with him. And the first weapon was the weapon of prayer. When we are faced with the works of Satan, gather people around you. Gather people around you and call on them to help you, to pray for you. When we are faced with a crisis moment, prayer should be the first thing that we turn to, not the last thing. The second weapon is the proclamation of the Word of God. One of our greatest weapons when we actively engage against the enemy is to have the Word of God at our fingertips, to have it on our lips, to share it, to speak it. As we saw Jesus in the garden, or when he was being tempted, using the Word of God as a weapon against the enemy. God told them where the enemy was. He told them to position themselves. He told them to stand still and to see what God would do. And God did. But the thing that stands out to me the most is the whole lifting their voices up in praise. And when you think about an army coming together, and there's another army coming out to fight, and they're coming towards each other, and all of a sudden they hear these people singing praises to the Father, it threw that army, it threw the armies coming against Jehoshaphat into total chaos. When they heard him singing, "Praise be to God, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're there with your swords, your spears, whatever it is, ready to fight. And you hear this from the other side, singing, praising. And all of a sudden, there's total chaos. They're turning on each other. They turned on each other and killed each other to the point where the Ammonites and the Moabs, they came against each other and killed each other, or killed the other people. And I'm forgetting the names, but anyway, they all slaughtered each other till it was all said and done. And this was all done while the children of Israel singing and praising. And I'm here to challenge you this morning that there is nothing that throws the enemy's army into total chaos like when you, the children of God, stand up and bring praises to the Father. When you stand up and raise up your voice in praise to the Father in the face of the enemy, it throws him into total chaos. It is unexpected. He doesn't know what to do. When you are willing to lift up your hands and bring praise to him. See, praise is something we should understand. It's nothing new to us. We praise our children when they do well. We get praises from our boss when we do well. We praise our pets when they do well. You see, praise is something that we can do. We know how to do that. It's not difficult, but it is something that takes energy. It is not something that you can do with your arms folded and your mouth tight shut. Praise is something that comes out. Praise is something that you do. It is what praise often leads into worship. Worship is something that comes from the heart. Praise comes from your mouth, your body. It's praise. It is lifted up. And so praise often leads into worship. And in worship, we worship out of our hearts. And so if you're having trouble this morning worshiping, may I suggest to you, start lifting up your voice in praise. Start shouting out voices of praise. It says that they praised him with voices loud and high. I wonder what the difference is. Loud and high, they praised him. You see, it was something that the people around knew that they were praising. If you're going to praise God, you need to open your mouth. I believe that. I believe it can be done with other body gestures and stuff. But to praise God, it takes effort. It takes an energy. It takes a doing to praise God. And worship, don't be surprised when worship breaks out in your heart when you start praising God. And you start to feel the overwhelming sense that God is in your presence when you praise him. We ought to praise the Lord before the battle, as we see Jehoshaphat did. We ought to praise him before the battle. When we recognize that we're coming into difficult testing times, stop. Stop. And take time to praise the Lord. Praise God for what he has done. Praise God for what he is doing. Praise God for what he will do. We need to praise God in the battle. When we're in the battle and it just seems like things are closing in on us to the point where we can't breathe. And it doesn't seem like there's a song left on your lips. I challenge you to pull one more out. One more praise. One more praise to the Father when it feels like there's none left. And see what happens to the armies that are coming against you. At the end of the battle, when the battle was over, the battle was won, they came back. What were they doing? They were praising God. They were praising God. So they praised God before the battle, they praised God in the battle, and they praised God at the end of the battle. So many times we want to wait. It's like we don't have a praise until the battle is over. So I call us this morning that in the battle, before the battle, in the battle, and when the battle is over. And what is amusing to me is that in this scripture, when they went in there and they found the people that were laying there, the enemy, dead, destroyed, and they went in and they started taking off their jewelry and their valuables and stuff, and it took them 3 days. This is a lot of people. This is a lot of people that were helping to take this jewelry and stuff, and it took them 3 days to do it. I'm like, who in the world brings their earrings and their finger rings and their jewelry and stuff to battle? See, again, the hand of God was in this. He brought a reward to his people for being obedient to him and praising him. There is a great reward that is waiting for you. If you are willing to be a person of praise, that is willing to praise before the battle, in the battle, at the end of the battle, the treasures of joy, the treasure of peace, the treasure of happiness, there is no other treasures like that, I assure you this morning. There is no other treasures like that. And it only happens if we are willing to be free with God and to praise him and to honor him. We have the account in Acts 16, 22 through 26. I will read this in closing. Acts 16, 22 through 26 says this. Then the multitude rose up and gathered against them. This is Paul and Silas. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were sitting there griping and complaining about how misused they were, and not true. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't singing under their breath. They were singing that the whole prison could hear them sing. They were singing praises to God. It was in their heart, because at a time like that, in a time when you are whipped, beaten, and thrown into prison, if there is an element of praise in your heart, that's when it will come out. Many of us would be prone to sit there and lick our wounds and feel how untreated we were, that we were just doing right for God. We were doing nothing wrong. And here we are in prison, send prayer requests out to people, which might be a good thing, but I'm just saying, how many of us, when we have been beaten, thrown into prison, put in stocks, we'll find a song on our lips? You may be here this morning, and you need an earthquake to open the doors, to knock down the walls that you're facing in life. Paul and Silas, they praised God in prison. God shook the foundation of the prison. When you're in the shackles of life and you're feeling down, feeling low, do not allow your emotions to control you. Do not allow your emotions to control you. Find that song of praise. Find that word of praise. Begin to praise God. Praise God because of His great promises. Praise God because of what He said He would do for you. Praise God because He is big enough. Praise God because He can heal, set free, raise up, fix up, set up, and lift you up. God is above all, and his marvelous promises are there if our eyes are open to see them. If our eyes are open to see them, and we lift up our voices in praise. What is your need this morning? What is the battle that has come against you? How has the response of your heart been towards that? Does it feel overwhelming? Do you feel like you need faith? Do you feel like you need courage? Do you feel like you just need something to continue on? I invite you to lift up your voices in praise and see what God will do. See what God will do for you. Let's stand together for a prayer. And I want to invite you again this morning. This altar is open. If you recognize this morning God is speaking to you, feel free to come and kneel at the altar here and just get in touch with God. Father, we do thank you again this morning for the opportunity we have to be able to count on you, to call upon you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word for a promise. Lord, I thank you this morning that we are able to be people of praise even when it seems like there is nothing left to give. Father, I pray this morning that for each of us, Lord, we would be people of praise, and that our hearts and our minds would be fixed on you, and that the troubling times around us would not be able to drag us down, would not be able to separate us from recognizing how great you are and the beauty that you have prepared for us. Lord, I pray that today, each one that walks from this place would be renewed with a sense of wanting to praise you. Lord, I pray that today, your Spirit would move among us, and you would receive the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in song. And again, this morning, the altar is open. If you want to meet with God here this morning, do that.